In the revelations of St. Bridget, it is said that Our Lady is referred to as the star that precedes the sun. It's a beautiful thought, especially for Advent. She it is who ushers in the Messiah into this world to save sinners. And the saints explaining this description of Our Lady as a star preceding the sun, they explain it this way, that any sinner who shows devotion to Our Lady is certain to receive the grace of conversion. And it's a very beautiful thought. Then grace enters the soul, and with it, the Blessed Trinity comes. It is Our Lady is the star who precedes her divine Son in the soul. And that's a beautiful thought, isn't it, for Advent and for our own personal spiritual lives. There's a story I want to tell you. Maybe you know it, maybe you don't. St. Francis de Sales. He was a bishop of Geneva many, many years ago, and he's known to have converted some 60 to 70,000 Protestants in his day. And is famous, of course, for many of his sermons and the books that he has written, particularly The Introduction to a Devout Life, which I highly recommend to you if you haven't read that one. But he's one of the great saints of all times. And when he was young, he was very solidly virtuous, proven by temptation. His primary fault to which he was tempted was a quick and a violent temper. And often he would feel the passion of anger just well up inside of him, and the blood would come to his face. He'd get the red face from the anger and everything else, though internally his blood was boiling on certain occasions. He always managed to contain his temper and eventually to calm himself down. He would not give in. Neither the devil nor the flesh nor the world could overcome him. By whatever temptation they threw to him, they couldn't overcome him. So the devil used a different sort of temptation, one which was almost hidden. You see, in the days of St. Francis de Sales, there was a heresy which became very widespread. It's called the Calvinist heresy. And they taught that God predestines souls, certain souls, to hell, and that they have no say in the matter. They have no choice. God predestines them. He made them to send them there. And this is a heresy, of course, condemned by the Catholic Church. But in those days, it was one of the issues of the day. Theologians discussed and that Catholics condemned. Well, St. Francis had to do some reading on this subject. And soon enough, because of the reading he had to do on it, he found himself tempted to despair. He never gave in, but he constantly had that feeling of despair, that he was one of those souls whom God predestined to hell. And he constantly had the feeling that he had lost sanctifying grace and that his soul was blackened with mortal sin. And this temptation, it was not just a day or two or a few hours, like many temptations are, but this lasted for 2 months, and it was constant all the time and became so bad that it affected his health. He lost his appetite. He couldn't eat. He became jaundiced, and he became so ill and so weak that he was bedridden. And to make everything worse, whenever his superior asked him what was troubling him, he couldn't give an answer. Here he is, one of the greatest preachers of all times, one of the greatest speakers and writers, and he couldn't find the words to say what was going on inside of his soul. That makes all of our crosses worse, doesn't it? When we have no one to turn to, when everything seems lost, we have no one to turn to. And then, despite all of the crosses that we endure in this life, you couple that with the thought that it doesn't matter anyway. I'm not going to go to heaven. That was the state of soul that St. Francis de Sales had for those 2 months, always black and bitter and sad. And he found consolation, though, in one prayer. He said to God, he said to him, "My God, if I'm not going to go to heaven, at least make me love you in this life." And then he promised God that no matter what, he would always place all of his hope in him and never give in to despair. And finally, he asked God that if he should lose his soul, that he at least be prevented in hell from being among those number of those souls who curse constantly the holy name of God. That was his prayer. And it relieved his temptation somewhat, but didn't take it away. And then finally, Saint Francis managed, despite all of his weakness, he managed to get up out of bed and walk to a church nearby, and there he prayed. In that church, there was a miraculous statue of our Blessed Lady. I believe it was called Our Lady of Kind Deliverance. And he knelt before the image there, before Our Lady, and implored her help, and promised that if he were delivered from this temptation, that he would say every day the rosary. And at that very moment that he said that, his eyes fell upon a holy card that had the memorare, and he said it. For those of you that don't know the prayer, it was written by Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. But I'll say it for you. It's such a beautiful prayer that you should add to your devotions. "Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen." That was the prayer that Saint Francis said. As soon as he said it, all sadness and all despair, all darkness left his soul, never to return again. And that is why his books are so good. It's always uplifting. There's nothing dark or depressing in any of the books that he has written. But he always attributed his victory over that temptation to Our Lady and to the Memorare. Always remember that prayer and let it always be on your lips. Now, the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception teaches that Our Lady was never stained with sin, either original or actual sin, when she was conceived in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. She was preserved from original sin and all of its effects. And in life, she never once committed even the tiniest actual sin. So you can imagine, what was the peace in the Blessed Mother's soul? All lack of peace, all sadness, comes from just one thing: sin. But Our Lady was sinless. Imagine the peace that reigned there. There was never any sadness in her beautiful soul. But you and I, we haven't been immaculately conceived and have committed so many sins. There's always going to be in our life some sort of sadness, perhaps even the temptation to despair. But remember, if there is no misery, there can be no mercy. That's just how it goes. What is mercy without misery? If we sin, then go to Our Lady. She will have compassion on our misery. Saint Jerome said, "Even whilst living in this world, the heart of Mary was so filled with tenderness and compassion for men that no one ever suffered so much for his own pains as Mary suffered for the pains of others." And then St. Peter Damian, almost following it up exactly, says, "But perhaps," he's speaking to Our Lady, "but perhaps now that thou art raised to the high dignity of Queen of Heaven, thou forgettest us poor creatures here on earth. Ah, far be such a thought from our minds, for it would little become the great compassion that reigns in the heart of Mary ever to forget such misery as ours." Again, always remember, if there is no misery, there is no mercy. There can be no mercy. So when you fall into sin, don't ever lose hope. Don't ever get discouraged. Remember that God has given us Mary at the foot of the cross, and she is a queen of mercy. And remember the words of the epistle today. These words apply to Our Lady. He that shall find me shall find life and shall have salvation from the Lord. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never, never was it heard that anyone invoked thine intercession and was left unaided. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.